Right. But before we consider the word, let's ask the Lord to bless it. Let's pray. Father, I love the word where you say your body is being broken into pieces so that we can enjoy your life. And your word is life from you, and you break it into pieces so that we can also receive nourishment, just like we enjoy food in pieces, that we will enjoy your word and your scripture this morning. I pray, dear Lord, Holy Spirit, break it and bless the body of Christ so that we grow up individually as well as a church. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God speaks in airport as well. Do you know? And this word is very much when I was browsing in the bookshop at the airport, and this word came. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 35-39. Mark 1, verses 35-39. The Bible tells us, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That's why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. There was this book that I picked up in the airport. It was called Jomo. And I realized that Jesus has the Jomo style. And that's the reason why he is so calm, so contented, and so full of fresh vision. But the disciples were flustered. The disciples didn't have Jomo. That's why they were so flustered. Very early in the morning, we were told in Mark 1, the one I've just read, the disciples came to Jesus and they were very nervous about Jesus missing in action in the village. And they said, "Master, where are you? Where did you go? Everyone is looking for you." In my own word, it's like, it's so happening, that village, you know, everyone has got need. Everyone needs you. And here you are at the mountainside, almost like wasting time, wasting opportune time, time that people need you, Lord Jesus, and you are spending it praying at the mountainside. See, Jesus has Jomo, but the disciples have FOMO. Now, these may be very new words to you, but it's not new. It's spreading in the market like wildfire. FOMO means the fear of missing out. And then a Danish psychologist rephrased it and said, there's no need for fear of missing out. You can have JOMO, the joy of missing out. So I got the book and give it to my daughter. Jesus detaches himself from the hustle and the bustle. Jesus detaches himself from the happiness treadmill. You know, there's this happiness treadmill that you tread and you want to be happy, you want to be happy, you know, happy, and you want to do things. And Jesus detaches himself from that treadmill of having more and more pleasures, more and more activities. And his joy was to be with the Father. He would rather forfeit the pleasures, he would rather forfeit the activities of the town than to be absent from his Father. And now, in this passage, as we read it, after he had his fresh vision, he knew exactly where to go. I think with our very fast-paced society in our very fast-paced city. Now Perth is becoming very livable and very fast-paced. Even Ritz-Carlton is already climbing up and it's going to be open. So it's fast-paced, man. I look at our arena, I look at our stadium. Wow, people are coming from all over, fast-paced. We need a reprogramming of our body system. That's why we need JOMO, not FOMO. I'm loving it because, you know, it's still very fresh, so it's good. To be liberated, and we all talk about being free in Christ, to be liberated, we must be prepared to miss out. I say it again. To be liberated, we must be prepared to miss out. And Jesus lived out this truth in Mark chapter 1. Because from that freedom comes fresh vision. Jesus knew exactly where to go after he sat with his father at the mountainside. I've got many questions for you. Are you free? Number two, are your visions fresh? Then number three, which is tied up to JOMO, is your JOMO index high? Is your joy of missing out index high? Okay, before you kind of like say, oh, I don't know where we were going with this, then I'm interested today to increase our JOMO index. Is that a good thing to do? Huh? We want to have the joy of missing out, and I am interested in helping you increase your JOMO index as Jesus has taught us. This morning I asked my husband to pray for me, and I love what he prayed. He says, Lord, let the people be able to have a takeaway from this sermon. I said, wow, so good. I use this so much in my counseling. I would always say to my clients, I say, what is your takeaway today? And then my husband prayed this prayer. I says, wow, he's very cool because he speaks the same language as I am now, you know. And I like you to do a lot of takeaways today, okay? Take away stuff and take away things from this sermon because this is exactly linked to the Lord Jesus. So the first thing first, if you want to increase your FOMO index as Jesus has practiced the JOMO style, is number one, unplug from the urgent. Unplug from the urgent. The disciples came to Jesus and says, everyone's looking for you. That sounded like a very urgent request. Everyone is looking for you. It also sounds like an exaggeration. Everyone, really? Everyone? Everyone in the town is looking for Jesus? You know, sometimes we use these words like everyone, like absolutely sure, everyone is looking for you to tell the other person how sought after he is or how important he is. But you know, our Lord Jesus Christ is never perturbed by the urgency. He's never perturbed by how self-important he is. He is very secure. He is not easily flattered. He is not driven by popularity. He's not driven by desperate need. He's not driven by popular demand. He is not perturbed by the urgency. That's why he has got JOMO. He's able to miss out and not feel bad about it. See, urgency has a way of messing up your system. Isn't it true? If everything is urgent, if everybody is looking for you, if all your children, all five of them or 10 of them, all looking for you at the same time, I believe your body will have to produce, and this is true, John, yeah? In a medical field, right? All the adrenaline, all the things in your body system is going to come out to deal with the urgencies. And guess what? If you've got the energy, that's good. If you don't have the energy, that's when you get anxious, you get depressed, and you don't have the energy still. And even if you have the energy, if everything is urgent around you, if the moment you wake up early in the morning, you wake up and everything is urgent, everything needs to be done. Kitchen needs to be done. The kids need to be dressed. Everything needs to be spick and span, good and clean. Everything is so urgent. I believe at the end of the day, you'll be dead tired. Right? You may have the energy, but you'll be dead tired because everything is so urgent and you need time to recover. The good news is we don't have to be developing this thing called the Messiah complex. We don't have to be the one to go to everybody and do everything, because the Lord Jesus himself knows how to rest. He's the Messiah. He doesn't have a complex. We are not Messiahs. We want to have the complex. Huh? And we develop a Messiah complex where everything is urgent. Everybody needs me. I am so indispensable. If we do that, we're going to get really tired. But of course, there are some things that need to be attended to. Of course, the crisis needs to be attended to, isn't it? Not everything is a crisis, but sometimes we treat everything like a crisis, and that's why we get so tired. Making breakfast for your child is not a crisis situation if you can't make the breakfast. Oh, this is news. You can just give him the, you know, biscuit for one day. It won't kill him. It's not a crisis, right? Right? Not washing clothes for your husband one day is not going to kill him, right? You may kill his look for that day, but it won't kill him. It's not crisis. Huh? We need to attend to crisis and not treat everything like a crisis. And that is what will make our body stronger. I remember a crisis when I was teaching in a junior school in Singapore. That was a crisis because one of the kids came with his head, with a hole in his head. And blood was sprouting out like that. Whoa. I've never seen something so scary, man. It was sprouting out like that. It was recess time. Apparently, he fell on the twig. And the twig punched a hole in his head. It was a crisis. I was a very young teacher then. And my assistant principal says, don't worry, it's not a crisis. He knows better. He says, finish your recess first. Eat your food. I can't eat my food. It was a crisis. For the first time, I was so bold, I ignored him. I still got promoted, thank God. Don't worry about him. I couldn't help it but to attend to this boy first and then have my breakfast or have my recess. Crisis. Certain crisis needs to be attended to. And I'm asking you to attend to all the crises. You must not miss out on the opportunity to deal with crisis. But there are some things that are not crises, and we must not spend too much energy dealing with interruptions or dealing with disruptions as though they are the main things in life. And sometimes we can also be so consumed by this FOMO thing, this fear of missing out, that everything is a crisis and everything needs to be attended to. And we deal with all kinds of interruptions or all kinds of distractions. By the time we get to the important bits, we are already tired. This is very real. You know, these days with our digital invasion, and it's too far ahead, we can't turn back anymore. I think today, if I were to tell you not to refer to your phone, it's crazy. I'm talking backward language, am I correct? But now with this digital invasion, we are constantly bombarded with messages from hundreds and thousands of people. Some of these are interruptions, some of these are distractions, and we need to know how to best handle it because we need to unplug from the urgent. Some of these messages are there, but they are not urgent. And we need to realize that these things, which are tools originally, can become instruments that will take up your attention, that can draw you away from doing what is important. Survey has shown that every 6.5 minutes, people would check their mobile. Does it scare you? Does it scare you? Wow, 6.5 minutes. He says, no, no, I'm better. 6 hours and I check one time. Well, that's good for you. But average, we are talking 6.5 minutes people are checking their mobiles. In the US, 26% of adults are online always. 45% of teenagers are on the mobile always. Now, that's not scary enough. The scary news is that they found out that when people are on their mobile, when people are online, they are less happy and less contented. Wow. We got to be careful. Yeah, there are some things that are in there that we just have to be a little bit careful. If we are far from these statistics, that's good. We are not distracting ourselves. We are not interrupting ourselves from the important bits. See, there is a great need for us to have digital well-being. I believe in the phone. I do a lot of messaging. I do a lot of things for communication. I do a lot of digital things. And I think it's God's gift for us in this modern world. But it can also be a distraction. It can also be an interruption. And it can also develop FOMO, which is a fear of missing out. I remember when I was writing my blog, confession time. I do write blogs, right? The first 2 days after I release my blog, I do check it 6.5 minutes every time. Like, how many people like it? Who are the ones who like it? The first 2 days, usually. So every month I will have one article, and every month I will have 2 days where I would check my Facebook the whole time just to be sure that someone is reading it. I'm not writing to air. You know what I'm saying? So, confession. But there is a great need for digital well-being. See, the godly heart, as Jesus demonstrated to us, is the opposite of opportunism. There were a lot of opportunities in that village, but even the Savior did not develop this complex of being more by doing more and more. Jesus did not develop his life by doing more and more. Even though as a Savior, as a Creator, he creates so many things in this world, but yet he is not taken in by doing more and more, because a godly heart is opposite from opportunism. A godly heart learns to wait. The godly heart knows that when it waits, there will be a greater reward coming. And for Jesus, the greater reward in Mark chapter 1 was to be satisfied by the presence of his Father, and to be so wanting to be at his Father's side to hear exactly what his Father wanted him to do. This is our Savior we are talking about. He is so wanting to please the Father. He is so wanting to await the greater reward of waiting on his Father, to know exactly what his Father wanted him to do. He was able to unplug from the urgent. He was able to unplug from all the urgent requests of the disciples, from all the clamor of the crowd. He was able to unplug them and to be in the silent presence of his Father so that he can hear his Father speak to him. There is great value in waiting. There's great value in waiting. In fact, I'm going to play an experiment about waiting. And I know Brian, where are you? Oh, he says, oh, marshmallow experiment. He's keen because he's a psychology student. He's really keen in anything psychology. He's interested in anything the brain, yeah? Brian, is that true? So, there's going to be one experiment. It's going to be 4 minutes, but I'm not going to do it so long, or 3 minutes, not going to be so long. But it gives you the idea of what it means to wait. And who are the people who can't wait? The children. The children can't wait. But in this experiment by Walter Mischel, he actually demonstrated that children who can wait have better life outcomes later on in life. So in this experiment, he told the child, all right, this is one marshmallow. You can eat another one right away. But if you can wait for 15 minutes when I come back, then I'll give you 2 marshmallows. All right, so this experiment shows exactly that. Let's see what's there.
Another one. something and then I'll come back.
It's yummy, yummy.
All right, continue watching and I'll continue speaking, all right? Okay. Right. Okay, so maybe turn the volume down and we can still have the pictures on. Oh, can't wait. If we were to do the marshmallow test, would you be in a hurry to eat your marshmallow? Or would you be able to wait knowing that there will be a greater reward? And the greater reward is you can actually get two. Oh, that's after 15 minutes. That's it. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Right, right. So this is a real experiment, a marshmallow experiment, made Walter Michelle really famous in terms of being able to wait and being able to delay gratification. So the question I just asked is, if we were to do a marshmallow test, would we be able to wait, or would we be just, you know, taking the first bite without waiting? So Jesus realized this, that there are many amazing things in life to do. In Mark 1, we are told by the disciples that a lot of things are happening in the town. And we tell ourselves that there are so many amazing things, but we can't do it all. And we need to tell ourselves that it is okay not to do it all. We need to give permission to ourselves to say no, that we are missing out. And we also need to practice the art of restraint, especially in a time of excess. We live in a time of excess where we need to strive more and more, where we just do more and more and get more and more and enjoy more and more. It is a time to practice the art of restraint. And the answer is yes, no, you don't have to be there. The party will still go on. No, you don't have to race to catch up. You won't miss out and you won't lose out. When one door closes, another one will open. No, you don't need to be informed of everything. Some of us need to be informed of everything. You don't need to be informed of everything. No, you don't need to be in control. And what we learned last week from Phoebe is God is in control. We don't need to be in control of everything. And sometimes we can be cut short also in the amazing things that we are doing. For example, you know, there are so many amazing things and suddenly you don't feel well. It's as though you will suffer FOMO, isn't it? Fear of missing out. Like, you know, there are so many amazing things out there. People are doing all kinds of things and here you are being interrupted. You can feel like you are missing out. I felt like that 23 years ago when I came here. I felt I was missing out, really, because when I was in Singapore, I was already in a counseling course going to be a counselor in the Singapore Polytechnic. And then when the family decided that we want to move here, I just felt that, okay, there's an interruption. I came here and I decided to apply for the master's in counseling. I applied and I couldn't get in. I felt I was missing out big time, because in Singapore, I would have done that. And then down here, I couldn't do what I wanted to do as a master's student. It was really missing out. Sometimes it feels like that. It feels like we are being cut short in the amazing things that we have to do. And FOMO, the fear of missing out, can make us anxious. And if we revert to this very automatic style of reacting to life, then it's time to change. And we can learn from the Lord Jesus. It's time to change. If we keep feeling we are missing out, then, and we are feeling miserable about it, it is time to change. We can practice the art of contentment. And so for the first 2 years when I first came, even though I was complaining to God most times of what I have been missing out, I've also learned to be contented. One of the things I've learned to be contented was I have time. I have time to just walk the river. I had time to talk with the Lord. I had time to do things which I never could do when I was in Singapore. I had time. And even though I missed out so much in terms of education and plans, thank God that during that time, I was able to understand that God is still with me, that I can still move on, even though I've missed out on some of the things which I have planned to do. See, there's a time to do amazing things. There's also a time to rest from it. Jesus rested from doing important things. There's a time to do things and there's a time to rest from it. And you are not missing out when you are resting. For Jesus, there was a time to serve the people. He was healing the sick. He was driving out the demons. There was a time to serve the people, but there's a time to worship the Father. And Jesus prioritized his time with the Father over miraculous acts of service. He was able to say no to the disciples, and he was able to pluck on to what is important. So today, if we are driven by the urgent, if we're always responding to needs and you're getting really tired, and this FOMO thing, this missing out something, is getting you really feeling fatigued, I think it's time to do the second thing, to increase your joy of missing out index. And that is to plug in to what is important, to plug in to what is important. I said this at the prayer meeting, and I say it again. The busier you are, the more needed you are, the more you need to do what is important. I say that again. The busier you are, the more needed you are, the more you need to do what is important. Jesus was a very busy man. For 3 years of his ministry, he was around preaching the gospel, healing the sick. He was really, really busy. He wake up in the morning, and then the disciples came to him and says, everyone is looking for you. Every day is like that. Everyone is looking for Jesus. He is very, very busy whenever he is around people. But one thing Jesus knew is he knew how to recharge his spirit. He knew how to recharge his spirit. Self-care is not selfish. I have got so many people come through my doors and he says, I feel so bad. I have got to take care of myself. I said, no, self-care is not selfish. Self-care is not selfish. You must learn to enjoy the time you spend with you. You know, we spend time with everybody. How about you? You need to enjoy. No. You're all looking at me like funny, like, okay, you don't know what you're talking about now. You are going down the drain. You're backsliding, Pastor Cara. Yes, I'm saying self-care is not selfish. You need to enjoy the time you spend with you. You need to enjoy the time you drive by yourself along the river. You need to enjoy the time you're in the car talking to God. You need to enjoy time drinking tea by yourself. You need to enjoy putting out your nice crockery. lay out the whole table just for you. Yes, you need to do that. You need to do that. Because in Jesus' case, he enjoyed the self-care of walking with his Abba. He enjoyed walking with his Abba. He enjoyed talking with his Abba. And he enjoyed praying by the mountainside with his Abba. That's self-care. That's self-care. In my trip to Japan, maybe one of the reasons why I feel so fresh and why I appear fresh to Xiang. Xiang, where are you? Thank you very much for saying I look fresh. One of the things that I learned in Japan was a Chinese proverb. And I'm going to teach you a Chinese proverb today, which I learned. And this Chinese proverb is called Yang Jing Xu Rei. Yang Jing Xu Rei, my friend explained to me, is to recharge your spirits and to preserve your premium. Recharge your spirit. Yang Jing 就是 recharge your spirits. Xu Rei means to preserve your premium, preserve your excellence. And here, Jesus going to the mountainside to pray was exactly to Yang Jing Xu Rei, to recharge his spirit and to preserve the premium, the excellence that is in the Lord. It is to allow the Lord Father to outpour his spirit into him. And that's how he is able to come out from that place recharged and having a fresh vision. That's how he says, now I know where to go. We're not going to go back to the same village that is demanding all my services. I'm going to go to the other village, the other town that's going to need the gospel of Christ. He was so recharged, he was able to come out of that place having a fresh vision. We need to be fresh in our vision. And we need to do whatever that God calls us to do from that place of having been recharged and having fresh vision. And so when we were in Japan, I was asked to be the chaplain of the group. See, these girls, five of them, are from my Bible study class when I was in my teens. I was the older one. So they said, you know, since you're the older one, you be the Bible study teacher. You know, this kind of logic. I was just a new Christian. But anyway, they all grew up and then decided to gather in Japan. In Japan, God gave me a vision for these six couples. On that day in Otaru, they were supposed to come to my room because the room that they have booked for me and Henry was the biggest one and was the only one available. And so they say, you know, since the devotion is going to be in your room the next day, would you use your room for morning devotion? So I was a chaplain, so I get to have devotion that day. When I entered the room, God gave me a vision of this Yang Jing Xu Rei for these couples, all seven of us. There was a marina that was, the window looks out into the marina of the Otaru Sea. And God gave me a vision of this marina as a haven, as a place of refuge. See, these yachts weren't there many days ago, but because they had to rest from the journey out there at the sea, they had to, you know, do all the sailing and the tossing of the winds and all the strong winds, they finally came back to the marina, to the haven, to rest themselves. It is to rest and to be recharged and to preserve all the strength and energy of the yoke before they will go again to the next trip. That God gave me a vision for the couples. The Lord says that we need to recharge our spirit as a couple, and that was in Japan, I'm talking to you now. We need to recharge ourselves individually. We need to recharge our spirit as a church so that we can preserve the premium. We can preserve the excellence that God has put into us so that when God calls us for whatever God wants to call us to, that we come to that task with the freshness of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, marriage has many challenges, and the strongest of couple can also be tired by the marriage itself. The strongest of Christians also need to plug into what is important to recharge your spirit, because the strongest Christian can also get tired. And we need to get fresh in our vision and to put what is important into our calendar. We cannot let the urgent decide what is important for us in our calendar. We need to put the important things in our calendar. And Charles Swindoll, one of my favorite speaker and writer, says there are four things that we can do in order to be able to preserve what is excellent in you, be able to recharge your spirit. The first thing he said was we can have simplicity. Simplicity. Jesus took the simplicity path. He could have been so busy in the morning attending to all the needs in that village, but Jesus came away. He says, very early in the morning, when the light has not even come, Jesus was already walking to the mountainside, simple walk to the mountainside to talk with the Father. We can be simple as well in the way we do things. Don't get too caught up in the hustle and the bustle. Don't be too caught up with the fear of missing out. We need to do simple things. It can be a weekend at the countryside. We've got beautiful countryside here. It can be traveling to the countryside with only half a luggage, with only one luggage, not the whole house. You know, sometimes you've got so many things in the house, it's like, wow, so complicated. Wow, everything there, wow, so many lines. Do you feel sometimes like that? Time to declutter. Time to simplify. Put music on, worship music on, and say, this room needs to be simplified. And then you get guided to see what to eliminate. I think one of the words which I'm going to use on myself is eliminate ruthlessly. Is to be ruthless in the way you eliminate. Sometimes our life is so full, we need to eliminate. Simplify, need to simplify. Maybe take a walk by the river. Maybe don't overthink. When you overthink, life becomes very complicated. Learn how not to overthink. Maybe choose not to worry, because when you worry, your brain cells and your pathways all get blocked, you know, and you get nervous and you struggle. Maybe it's not to oversimplify your life, Charles Swindoll say, because this will prevent you from being too attached to people, too attached to routines, too attached to demands, too attached to rewards. Jesus wasn't attached to all these things. Jesus came away and went to the countryside, went to the mountainside with the Father. The next thing you can do is to have silence. Be still through silence. Sometimes silence is good to help you regain perspective, because in life, when you have got so much things going through your head, your boss talking to you, your wife talking to you, your husband talking to you, your kids talking to you, your friend, oh, ayo, so much. Sometimes it's good to have silence, because when people talk to you too much and they have got demands, two words you always use: I must do this. I should do this. And sometimes, you know, when people come into my room and they say, I really should do a lot of things. I said, no, don't shoot yourself. All these become demands. Sometimes we can be so swallowed up by guilt and shame because of the shoots and the musts that we need to do, that makes us, you know, not have the joy of living. Yeah? Yes, right? Not have the joy of doing things. So sometimes it's good to be quiet, you know. Sometimes you have your music on. Sometimes you can choose to off your music and just do things quietly. Sometimes it's just to walk to the park. There are times where I walk to the park and I have my music on, you know, earphones. There are times where I just deliberately take the earphones out and just walk. Listen to the birds, just walk. Silence is good. Charles Swindoll says, maybe try solitude. Try being on your own. Don't crave for company. Don't always need to have people around you. No, go and enjoy time alone. Jesus spent time with his Father alone. He chose to leave the crowd. He chose to leave the disciples. And he went to the Father alone just to be with the Father. I think that's a good thing. Doing things on your own. Yeah? I've got a friend many years ago, and she said something really radical to me. I still don't do it, but it's something interesting. Maybe you want to do it. On her birthday, she would book into a hotel. Nowadays, of course, you can book into an Airbnb a lot cheaper. Book into an Airbnb and just spend time with the Father in solitude. She would do that. I still am not able to do that yet. But maybe you want to do that on your birthday, on your anniversary, something. You know, be on, maybe not anniversary, sorry. Anniversary should be with your husband or your wife. No, I'm sorry. This is really very unwise counsel. Sorry, husbands. Sorry, wives. But on your birthday, you know, just go on your own. Spend some time in solitude, just on your own, so that you are able to not have this fear of missing out, so that you can have actually the joy of missing out. All right? And just go and enjoy yourself in God, reflecting on God on your special day. The other thing Charles Swindoll says is to surrender, is to surrender. Jesus surrendered everything to his Father by seeking out what the Father desires and then carrying out whatever the Father says to do, to go to the other village with a fresh spirit, is to surrender. There are times where things just get so complicated. There are things that you have been missing out and it's just so difficult. You know, you feel the ache and the pain, but sometimes it's to be in that position where you say, oh God, I surrender it all. I surrender it to you. Charles Swindoll says, when you are able to do this, then you won't be always doing the same old. You are able to do what is new, where you allow the living presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, let your best selves emerge. Sometimes our best selves are given to a lot of things that are not important. Here in the living presence of Jesus is to allow your best selves to emerge, where you can immerse yourself in God, where you can enjoy God, and you begin to see opportunities unfold before your eyes. I'd like you to do that. And that's why I love for you, and I know Pastor would also say the same thing, we love for you to come for Wednesday prayer meeting as a start. Maybe you say, no, I pray at home. That's good for you. But maybe for a start, if you have not been developing this routine of prayer, is to come for prayer meeting, get the engine of prayer, the engine of being in solitude with God, being silent before God, surrendering to God and being simple in your request to God. Just come and enjoy. Let the engine that is inside you, which God has put inside of you, to rev a little bit. Oh, I like that sound. Rev a little bit. Let your prayer life rev a little bit in the Lord. And I think it's good to come into the living presence of God. There are times where when you come into the presence of God and your problems are still there. Many times. I've come with issues. I come for prayer meeting. I still leave having the same problem. But I tell you what, when your engine of prayer is being rev, something happens inside of you. Your best spiritual self is given a shake-up. And if nothing starts in your life, something gets started in the prayer meeting or after the prayer meeting. Something happens because God says He's not to be mocked. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst of us. So we need to connect to what is important. If you don't connect to what is important, then what is urgent will take that place and you will not be so sustainable in your spiritual life, at least. You may be moving things and doing things, but you may be not doing things out of a fresh spirit, not doing things out of the joy of having missed out all those important things or all those amazing things. The third point, which is a very short point, but which is a very important point, and that is, and this is a lesson shown by Jesus. Jesus did not go on his own to recharge, feel good, and then do whatever he wants. Jesus was recharged, and after he was recharged, He said, let us go to another village, to the nearby villages, somewhere else. He said, let us go somewhere else. My conclusion of what he says is this, that if you are a recharged person, if you have yang jing xu rei, if your yang jing, your jing is recharged, and you are able to be your most excellent self, a recharged self always builds connection with other people. God recharge you so that you can love others better. And for Jesus, the new opportunity to connect and relate came out after he sought the Father. He says, let us go somewhere else. Let us go to the nearby villages. Jomo has led Jesus to a greater expansion of his ministry. So I'd like you to be recharged. But the main reason why God recharged you is not just for yourself. Of course, you feel good after the recharging, but it's always to connect with other people. This morning I woke up. I don't know, I was in a dream state, I think. You know, sometimes when you, and Pastor can testify to this, we get so consumed by the spiritual message. Sometimes in our dream, we wake up like, where am I? This morning I woke up, and I think I must say this to you. Recharged to be refired. I woke up this morning having this phrase, recharge to be refired. I would say be refired to engage with people, be refired like Jesus to connect with people that God is going to send him to. He was going to be sent to the nearby village, to somewhere else to connect with people. My question is, what's God saying to you in this next season? And what's the somewhere else that God wants to send you to? And what's the nearby villages looking like for you? God wants you to connect with that nearby village, that somewhere else, and minister to them. And my conclusion is this, don't run empty, don't serve tired. Get over what you have missed. Sometimes it may be an ideal job that you have missed. Maybe the perfect girl or the guy that you have missed that didn't work out. Maybe it was a sought-after sales deal, whatever you have missed. What you have missed, yes, would bring you maybe pain, maybe would even make you question life or maybe even question God. But you would have missed much more if you continue to brood in self-pity or in resentment. Don't pine, don't whine over spilt milk. It's already spilt. Jomo, right? Have the joy of missing out. You missed out. You missed out. Have the joy of missing out rather than the fear of missing out. Why? Because God's mercies are new every morning. Now, God is not vengeful. God does not make you miss opportunities. By the way, God is not evil. God won't like deliberately know you like it and then take it away. That's not the kind of father I believe in. Okay, anyway. God is not vengeful to make you miss opportunities because you have not done things his way or you didn't know what he approves of. He's not even stingy to withhold good things from you. Because I know if an earthly father will not give me a snake when I ask for a fish, and if my earthly father will not give me a stone when I ask for bread, my heavenly father will not deliberately do things that will make me miss things and be miserable. See, God's resources cannot be exhausted, and he waits for us to come to him and ask what his fresh visions are for us. And the Bible tells us, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I think we are given every opportunity and given the time today. We have time? Yep. The time today, the time day after, the time tomorrow, the time in the future. We need to live our life fresh in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Today, my altar call is very simple. This is the fuel station. This is the place where you recharge your spirit. The altar is the best because that's where you meet the Father. It's not like some formal place where people all look at you and you feel awkward. It's a place where you meet the Father. Okay, very simple sort of an altar call. Today, if you just feel like you need your spirits recharged, I'm speaking to you, you just come forward. Let the songs minister to us and just be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. Okay, very simple. If you feel really tired, you need some fresh vision, you need some quiet time with the Lord, sometime you and the Lord in the presence of God's people can pray for you, you need that time. This is the place, right? Okay, and we'll let the song minister to you.
Come on.
God is faithful. God has been so, so good, and He never changes. His character never changes. But you know, sometimes things happen in life, but that does not make God not good. It makes God even better, because God's going to bring you through a time and show you, reveal to you as a father would His big plans. I don't know about the past, but today there are some indication about the past. Whatever in the past that is spilt milk, whatever in the past you have missed out on things, that does not mean your future is in any way not what you want or what God wants. We need to get past the things that have happened in the past. You need to recharge your spirit so that when God gives you a new assignment, when God brings you into a new season, you will do it out of that fresh spirit. Father, I just pray for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, you know their hearts. If they have been discouraged or even sometimes disabled by experiences in the past that are not so nice, not so encouraging, Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters that you will help them to yangjing, to recharge their spirit. Holy Spirit, you are here to give us a new birth, to give us a new burst of life. And Father, I pray for my brother and my sister that they will seek you. Seek you, Lord, to put that past behind them. And Lord, to go into the present moment and into the future with the presence of God. Lord, I just pray that you give them the joy of missing out. It used to be a pain of having missed out. But today, this morning, in your healing presence, and we are now in your healing presence, let this joy of missing out be on my brothers and my sisters.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
so that we can come to terms with what has been missed out in the past and move, oh Lord, into the future with the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are going to see to it that, Lord, our plans in you are still so abundant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I praise you and I thank you and give you thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen. Have a good day. Have a good coffee. Keep warm.
Amen.